seeking a furry convention that is themed with horror themes. Aww. This year's theme is horror in paradise, which typically means it's a zombie film that, in this case, without you swap out the zombies for fursuiters, and we're all on a wonderful tropical island. Looking out there and seeing how we've got some of the things that we've got associated with, I think we're doing okay on the theming side of things. Our messaging clearly needs some work, but that's okay. One of the things that I can tell you guys right about is from our staffing perspective, and you guys are going to have to bear with us in some way, shape, or another, is that since COVID had happened, a lot of people that would normally come back to staff our conventions haven't been. And we are doing the best to compensate with where we can and all those other things associated with it. This is my one and only shameless plug that I'm going to give you guys right now of, if you have time, we've got a wonderful volunteers lead, and we really need more people to help us volunteer and help us run these types of events. That way it's as smooth and as honest of an effort as possible, and that way we can continue to have as much fun as possible. That being said, if you're working for programming, you're going to be working the entire time and then some. Right, Pegan?
Eigen.
Eigen.
Right.
Damn it!
Eigen. Moving on from there, guys. Couple of things that you guys... Yep, on the back.
Two things. One, if you need some help, talk to me afterwards. I could see about volunteering.
Cool.
Two, now, we're all covered in fur. Who thought it would be a good idea to have tropical stuff?
You know what's funny about that statement? Our vice president of operations and vice president of the board for Apocalypse, his name's Nico, also known as Mr. DeWolf, and he was adamant. I shouldn't be telling you guys this story.
So?
Let's start with this. I'm going to put the chair. It started all about 5 or 6 years ago. We should do like a tropical themed event.
Yeah, we've got a couple things lined up, whatever.
No, we should do like a tropical themed event, like palm trees, you know, lots of like bright neons, like an island thing. So it feels like a resort. This was continued to be pushed for the last 5 or 6 years, and when we were like, oh, well, all right, we'll do it. We'll do it in 2020.
COVID.
The greatest nightmare of them all. COVID.
COVID.
But the fact is that this convention not only has record attendance numbers at the moment. I don't know the exact numbers. I just know the record number. I don't ask for the numbers until we get to, you know, the end of the weekend because I'm superstitious. It's sad, but it's 100% true. It's just like, you tell me, we have like 3,000 people. I will start panicking for no fucking reason. Pardon my language on that. And, I was hoping one of the other staffers would do the part. Damn it. We're gone. But Tropical Paradise was our kind of our running thing that we wanted to do for a very long time. Our team has spent an exorbitant amount of time on all the different pieces and all the different arts and everything else associated with it, from our website to the signage that you see to a gigantic banner that will be showing all of our DJs over my main stage. Question.
Hi. Sorry. Oh, no, I don't have a question. I'm just...
waving to say hi. Cool. We also have chairs. You can feel free to sit on the seat.
There's
seat
chairs everywhere.
Sit anywhere. There we go.
And there's a chair right here.
Right there.
Oh, there's a seat right here.
The hot seat. It's not the hot seat.
It's
you're
the
on
hot
seat.
Seat. It's
except
the hot
for
seat.
This chair right here, apparently.
It's only another place.
Look at the
there. Now, I can pull it out there. Yeah.
One of the biggest questions that I'd like to bring up right here, now, and you guys have already kind of figured out some of it, is that our schedule. Now, we have printed schedules that are coming today. At least, I believe we have printed schedules coming today. They may be out of date, which typically happens. We've got a lot of changes that happen very quickly, very frequently. But what thing gets updated all the time? Our online schedule. How you can get access to it is very simple. You go to our website, apocalypse.org. You click on the little big thing that says view our schedule, and then boom. You also can go to the back of your badge. There's a nice little QR code and everything else. You can scan that, and it also will bring you to this website.
It also has the website run in the back, too.
That, too. That all being said, guys, this is the best place to find all the events that you want to go to, and even better, you can actually take a look at any event, for example, opening ceremonies, and if you've signed in, you can add it to your own schedule. It'll give you a heads up. so you know what's going on with that schedule and what things are going on, and a reminder of like, oh yeah, there's that thing that I wanted to go do. It'll pop up on your phone. The only reason why you might not be able to see it is because you'll be too enveloped in some of the other things that are going on. For example, we've got this gigantic dealer's room.
Yay.
You guys come out of here, you go, you bang a right, you go down just a little bit. We don't just have one dealer's room, we got two.
Yay.
We literally have doubled the amount of dealer room space that we've had in years prior. Question?
Yes, I do have a question. Going back to the events, the schedule, I wonder where the main events be held then?
Main events? Thank you for mentioning that. As the guy who's going to be spending most of his time in main events, whether he likes it or not, main events is if you go out here, again, bang a right, you go down, and then you bang a little bit of a left, you'll see a whole bunch of artists. That's our artist alley. Our main stage is right in that space. Also, generally speaking, there's a lot of loud music that's coming from that space. Usually good music. Not always, but usually. Question.
You can go to the info and find the map and it shows it right there.
Ah, that's right. I forgot about that. If you get lost, which will probably happen for almost all of us, and I'm not going to lie, even my staff has gone back and forth and been like, where do I go for certain things? So on the website, if you click the menu button, which is in the top left of the corner of the website, there is a handy-dandy map.
Yeah, this is what,
really?
This is what I'm
yes,
about.
Really. I'm not making this up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, I make up a lot of stuff. This I can't make up because it's in my hand and it's not Photoshopped this time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was...
No. Because this is one of the most unusual and probably one of the best locations that we've ever had for an event because we are wide and spread out. We've got this entire hotel space. One of the biggest things that people are going to miss this weekend is the photo room. In order to get to the photo room, you're on the first floor, you're going to keep on going all the way out, you're going to bang a right, and you're going to keep on going towards the Holiday Inn. You'll see our legitimately gigantic photo suite, which is this room and our other panel room combined effectively. Not 100% exactly, but pretty damn close. And the photo room hours, again, they're on our schedule. Sam?
There's a typo on the map.
I don't want to hear that. Anyway, does it matter?
No, I'm just going to bring it up.
All right, hold on.
Talk about that bingo card again.
Okay.
Security.
All right.
Look at security.
It's security.
Well, hot dang.
Is it missing an R?
No, it's fixed.
R, you were in the wrong place.
Oh, okay.
This is probably a good time to give a good story about how graphic designers, I am one of them, are legitimately the worst at spell check. We give that over to other people. They're known as editors.
You would make a horrible wizard.
To be fair, a lot of the graphics are...
This guy gets it.
Spell check built in.
That's, I mean, honestly, if Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator and InDesign had spell check integrated properly, everything would be perfect. But till then, we're really just happy that you saw that we've got a nice, lean, clean logo design for our game room, excuse me, our tabletop room, and that we've spelled guest rooms correctly. You'd be surprised how often that comes back with geest rooms. That's with a G-E, no U.
Guest rooms.
Or goose room.
Or that we remember to add things like the bathrooms, which is also a critical thing to put on a map, apparently. I would never have forgotten that. No, never. That's twice, in case you guys didn't catch the hidden meaning. Moving on from there. Our second floor, we're going to talk a little bit about the first floor. And honestly, if we had less people, we'd be doing a walking tour right now. But we have a lot of people, and I'm still shocked by that. Because it's a lot more people than I was ever expecting. Up on the second floor, which you can get to, there's a stairwell right over here, and then there's also stairwells, I believe, down here as well. Up on the second floor, we've got our video game suite, which is going to be on the far right over here from here. We now have just one room. We got four. Now, are all four rooms going to be active at any given point? No. Should only be about two or three at any given point. But still, that's a lot more
space for video games than we've ever had in the past. We also have a gigantic room for tabletop games that is being run by a third party who happens to also be slightly responsible for my upbringing, at least, because the guy that's running all of tabletop gaming, or rather owns this shop, is my former mentor. And I can guarantee you this, they've got some really, really good events that are going on up there. Unfortunately, right now, due to a little bit of a glitch, we don't have their schedule up on there, but I do highly recommend going up to Tabletop Games and taking a look at their schedule, taking a look at their wares. Hell, we might not even put their schedule up on here now that I think about it, because that'll force people to see how much stuff they brought. And I do mean how, like, it's a lot of stuff. A lot of board games, a lot of different things that you can purchase, a lot of things that you can try out, a lot of things to kind of get you into, well, board gaming. It's not an addiction. I promise you that. Don't look at how much money I've spent on board games. More importantly, don't look at what my wife has spent on board games.
Like Dungeons and Dragons?
What's that?
Like Dungeons and Dragons?
Dungeons and Dragons, Clips, and Catan. Monopoly has been yeeted out of this convention.
Good.
And will continue to be yeeted out of this convention until we come up with our own furry version of Monopoly. But now that I see that we have a gigantic
Monopoly.
Square,
Monopoly.
I might have a really bad idea for an event next year.
Do you want to play Fursuit Monopoly?
Buy all the convention hotels. Monopolize furry conventions.
Oh, no.
Now, moving on from all there, as you kind of walk, as I'm kind of like, you know, giving you guys the highlights of everything else that's going on, at least here. Over on the, man, let me make sure if I got this right. Charity's down this way, right? This is Kobu the Husky. Kobu is our charity lead. Excuse me, director of charity. That sounds much better than charity lead. And Charity is looking for fursuiters to help us with our bucket brigade. This would have been great did you bring a bucket by chance?
No.
We missed out on that opportunity. How many of you guys in the room know what a bucket brigade is? Okay, let's see here. Sam, what's a bucket brigade?
It's like, they're like firefighters. But like old school firefighters.
Yeah, actually, we're going to go on the far right.
Yeah, so bucket brigade is when the cutest, most adorablest of all fursuiters get a bucket, and they go out and they raise money for charity. So they come up to you and with their bucket, hoping, beyond hope, that they are cute enough to elicit a little bit of money for the charity. At the end, all the buckets are counted. Whoever has the most amount of money in their bucket, you just got sponsorship for next year's con. Whoever has the second most, you just got a free badge for next year's con.
You get all that right information? Anything else you need me to add? Okay. So if you'd like to volunteer to be a part of our bucket brigade, literally leave here, go to your right, find this wonderful husky in green, and we'll get you signed up and we'll get you involved with that. And one of the biggest things about furry conventions in general is that this is a volunteer convention. This is a non-profit convention. A lot of people keep on forgetting that fact, think that, oh, we're a convention. We make thousands upon millions of dollars. No. Let me rephrase that again. No. Our goal is to be non-profit, and our goal is to raise as much money as possible for our charity.
Who are we raising money
and
for?
And who are we raising our money for?
Who are we raising our money for?
That was what I was going to ask you.
We're raising money for Q Plus CT, which does work with queer youth across Connecticut. They do lots of work in schools. They do, like, game nights. And yeah, they do a lot of good work.
And how would we find out more information about Q+?
I believe you could go to perpocalypse.org, or you could go to the charity room, and we have people there. And we have a charity table by the restrooms in between the artist alley and, like, the lobby area, which will have Mel from Q+ sometime today through Sunday.
And again, up on our website, going into the About section, you can find out more about Q+ and why we are trying to raise money for them. They are an absolutely wonderful organization to work with, and we are very happy to be working with them this year. Also, as my phone has now gone to low power mode, I'd like to remind you all of this wonderful saving feature called power saving mode on your phones. And hopefully, at 11 o'clock in the morning, your power is not at, well, in my case, 20% and you know, going down quickly. It's much higher. But if you add that and you start using that now, you might be able to have a phone that survives all the way to all of our dances this evening.
in theory.
Or just have
a power brick. But
that's why I have a
I have an extra ticket to dinner tonight, and I would like to donate it to a first-time bill. I will give you the ticket, and you may decide.
Wow! All right, who, again, is our, this, not a first-time, a first-time, thank you. I'm not looking for a first-time person that's come to, What is wrong with me? Who is this, their first furry convention? Okay, you guys are going to be playing in our new mock game show. Oh, we had a sponsored dinner spot. But before we get there, you got a question?
How will we play?
How are we going to play this? Well, for all of you guys that are there, this is your first furry convention. One, I actually want to know how many... raise your hands one more time, because I think I got the best idea ever. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight... 9, 10, 11 Okay. This is going to be the least spectacular method ever. It would be great if the app on my phone actually was here still, because there's an app that I've got that basically is great for board games, that you just put your finger on the app, and then it'll tell you who's going to be playing first. Unfortunately, it is not on this phone, because this is a relatively speaking new phone. So what we're going to do instead is we're going to go to a little website called random.org. Random.org is known because it is a true random number generator.
So random.
So, raise your hands one more time and I'm going to give you guys a number. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 You young lady, you're your number 8. My man in pink is number 9. You're going to be 10, and number 11 over here has a question.
I actually have 2 tickets to the thing, but I didn't realize you got physical tickets.
If you're missing, if you need a physical ticket, you're going to want to go to operations, which again, out here to your left, same spot that you got your badge. If you don't know where that is, I have other questions for you, like how did you get your badge? So you already have an extra ticket. Okay, so you're out of this.
Yep.
Question again?
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
Do you remember what number you are?
Yeah, I'm at for Apocalypse.
Okay. Let's generate some numbers here.
Yeah, I got 9.
Somebody say stop.
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 Number 3. Congratulations. Hey. You have won a sponsorship dinner. Tonight's sponsor dinner is sponsored in part by Raid Shadow Legends. I'm kidding. We wouldn't take their money. Anyway. No, really, we wouldn't. I hate that game. It's also sponsored in part by Squarespace. No.
Rain Fonz.
Yes, you know, now that I think about it, it really should be sponsored in part by Manscaped. I mean, we've got enough fur for everything. They should have some products to help out with this. But the sponsored dinner is literally right out in front of us in the gazebo area. And that's where we'll be having our sponsored dinner tonight. And that should be starting, I want to say, like 5 o'clock. But I honest to God don't remember. But there's one way of finding out. And that's by going to our website again and looking up at the schedule.
It is 5.
Hey, cool. Right. Thank you.
Well, that's good for
you. Okay. I've got another 20 minutes of this panel. We've gone over a couple of the other things. We've talked about a couple of other things. But we got some questions.
Questions. So, and I may be stupid and I didn't realize this. When I got sponsored, is there a legit sponsor dinner?
If you're a super sponsor, it might be the next level up. I honestly, I don't remember because I kind of unfortunately.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, I don't remember that it said that. I was making sure.
But here's what I can tell you guys. If you have any questions related to what features or what things you have, again, you can go over to registration and they'll let you know one way or another what's there. I'm taking a look at the sponsored level. And it does not come with a sponsored dinner. But the super sponsor comes with an invitations to the dealer/sponsor dinner. And a gold sponsor comes with two invitations to a dealer slash sponsor dinner.
What?
But if you join staff, and if you join staff right now, I do not have a free invitation to the sponsor dinner. But if you come next year, we might. That being said, what other questions do you guys have? Otherwise, I'm going to talk about some of the events you guys want to, you might want to come and see.
Do you, we know how many years for Apocalypse has this hotel for?
I can't answer that question. The straight up answer is yes. Do you want to know more? You'll have to come back next year. Anyway.
And then you'll know. It's at least two.
I can't because, one, there's an NDA, and two, it's a contract thing. I can't tell you that you'll find out more at closing ceremonies. And if I were to tell you right now, that would be convenient. But now I have a now you have another reason to go to closing ceremonies. Also, if you really like the voice of God throughout the entirety of main events, it's totally not me.
Yeah, I have a question. When you're trying to organize a furry convention, like I live in New York City because where I live, we don't have any furry conventions. Like when I organization, you try to organize how to raise money for a charity. What purpose?
Hold on a second. Hey guys, I have a legit question. I know if you guys want to talk, I mean you guys can do it out there, but I would like to try to be able to answer people's questions and at least give people science. You want to know more about how to start a furry convention?
Yes.
In short, that's a whole panel's long conversation. But what I can tell you is the following. I'm the director here at Furry Migration. Excuse me. I'm the director here at Fur Apocalypse. I'm also the current director of programming at Furry Migration, which is a wonderful convention the week after Labor Day out in Minnesota. And I highly recommend it if you're a beer drinker. Not the convention if you're a beer drinker, Minnesota if you're a beer drinker, because they've got like 17 different breweries, they're all on a light rail, it's a fantastic experience. Moving on from there. I'm also the DJ coordinator at Anthro New England. I'm the former director of programming at Kineticon, which is a for-profit comic convention in Hartford, Connecticut. You guys may have heard about it, it's all the way on the other side of your state. And I'm the former cosplay games coordinator, which was effectively an assistant director of programming at Anime Boston, but that was almost 10 years ago. The reason why I just give my pseudo resume is to tell you the following. Starting any kind of convention from any kind of large scale to this to something as small as a college gaming club, which, by the way, I'm from UMass Dartmouth, go Corsairs. And I also started their video game club, which is known as Gaming Society, 16 or 17 years ago this year. That particular club started with 10 people. It now has 150 and goes between us. I now run a convention that has up to 2,000 people to 10,000 people to, 30,000 people in some cases, in the case of Anime Boston. To be able to say the following. Start small. No one's going to go to a convention. You're not going to get 10,000 people to go to a convention just by booking a gigantic hotel, spending millions of dollars, if no one knows who the heck you are and who your organization is. So if you start small, building up by one event after event after event after event, it will start to cascade, and you will start to grow more into whatever field that you want. And that's all I can kind of say when it comes to that element. I'm going to go with you.
Also,
I'm going to go with you.
Also, they were like, we need money, and we're like, we don't have to attend.
Well, the other side of it is that's why you start small. You guys are familiar with a little website called Kickstarter? Mm-hmm. How many guys know that all of the people that put their things up on Kickstarter, yes, there are a lot of like bigger companies that will throw up a Kickstarter and everything else, but the main purpose of Kickstarter, at least when it started, was to take small, independent people that didn't have the resources to put together a particular thing for like a board game, or for an activity, or for something that they wanted to go bigger with, and this allowed them to chip in and to create something bigger. Money is always the biggest problem, but beyond money, recognition and understanding, and more importantly, having the ability to follow a movement or follow a community
becomes even bigger as you build that thing up. Once you have your community, you can pretty much do whatever the heck you want. Within reason. Because I just also realized that could work on the other side of things, too. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, please stay blissfully ignorant. Question?
Me? Oh, actually, I don't know how this is going to say.
Do you want to know what things to go to?
What happened?
You want to know what things to go to?
Well,
I'm going to stall so you can think of what question you might have and it will come back to you. But the moment you figure out what question you have, or do you know what you want to ask?
Thank you for asking me and telling me this. I am a little lost on... what's going on? I'm sorry that
that's okay. One of the biggest things that we run into, especially at furry conventions, and actually really especially at any kind of sci-fi, anime, art, I'm trying to think of the convention I just came back from. Oh, that's right. It was the National Conference of Doctors and Nurses, which they're entertaining people, especially when they're drunk. Moving on. the biggest thing to keep in mind, especially like with trying to figure out what things do you want to go to, what are the biggest things you want to hit, is when you're looking at the schedule, there's a lot of different tags, but more importantly, you can click on the filter button and you can look exactly at what different types of events that we've got here. Now this year, we're trying to push as much as we can art panels, because our lifeblood as the furry fandom is in art. You look at every single fursuiter, that's a wonderful piece of artwork. You look at everybody else that's got custom badges, artwork. This year is a small step in that effort.
No, I'm not raising my hand, I'm sorry.
That's okay. This year is a small effort in that particular aspect, but we want to continue to try to promote. We really want Furpocalypse to eventually be one of the best conventions to go to if you're an artist. And one of the best conventions that you can go to learn more about your industry and to kind of continue to grow in it. Because as our art industry, or as the art part of our fandom grows, the rest of our fandom seems to grow even more and shine even more from there. But you can even click on to our schedule, look at all the different panels. For example, the Build-A-Badge panel is one that I would highly recommend. But another one that I'm going to recommend as well is the Woodburning 101 panel, by a wonderful and absolutely fantastic artist who, his real name is Samuel, goes by Kayubi, and maybe has worked with me for a number of years, and their artwork of just being able to do anything that you could possibly imagine, for example, basically taking my entire sauna and putting on a wonderful piece of wood, is not an easy thing by any stretch of the imagination, and the ability to kind of handle all of that is just something I want to, you know, highlight and just point out right then, right here and now, because it's those kinds of new innovations and new things that you see in this community that really makes us shine. Also, they're responsible for a gigantic piece of wood that happens. It's a wonderful thing. It's right over the archway. Most people in their house, they'll have like something Latin or something fancy above their archway as people are walking in. In mine, it says, "We don't king shame in this house." Anyway. Those are the types of things I want to make sure that you guys know that they're available, that are here, especially with everything else. But I wouldn't be doing my due diligence if I didn't talk about main events. Now, the reason why I'm going to talk about main events is, one, we've got a big one happening in a little over 2 hours from now, and that's opening ceremonies. In opening ceremonies, you're going to find out a little bit more about who Furpocalypse is. You're going to hear our master of ceremonies. His name is Nick Nocturne. He has a wonderful, sexy voice. It sounds a little bit like this. This is my Nick Nocturne impression. It's absolute garbage. Or is it? Anyway. But you'll see things like that. Furry Feud is a wonderful event as well that's going to be hosted by myself. And with Furry Feud, we've actually polled about 100 and something different people. We've asked them some crazy questions, like, name something you find up in your hotel room. And the answers truly will astound you. Because the number one answer is not your fursuit. Moving on.
Was it like PFC year one?
No, but wait a minute. Did you say PFC?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that convention.
Forgot about Pine for a cost.
Yeah, I was there.
That was a great convention.
Yeah.
And no, it's better. Also, you're busy. Did you bring your suit?
I did.
Good. Show up at 1:30, please.
Will do.
Excuse me, 2:30? I've been meaning to grab a hold of you. I didn't know you were going to be here. So you're now in the game. Moving on. Hi, I'm the director of programming. I do that to people sometimes. But
I'll try to eat the button again this time.
Thank you. Spoiler alert. Anyway, a couple of the other events that I really want to point out is we've got our match game, which is later tonight. Today is really more like we've got a lot of highly featured game show type events. We've also got some wonderful panels that are being done by Cirrus over here.
Yep.
Like Furry Pyramid is one of them, the Furry Grab Bag.
And a special one called the Game Show Grab Bag, which is for charity.
Which, that one is something I truly very much want to recommend as a panel that you must see if you have the time to see. And you can find out all of these things, again, right up on our schedule app. If I'm going to keep on talking about the schedule app, it really should just have its own sponsor at this point. The name of that company I will come up with at another time. But you can find out all of these things by, you know, Googling. Yes, we're sponsored in part by Google. Why not at this point?
Question.
So for scheduling stuff, you're going to want to have it on your phone. There is a con book that should be coming today. We've been dealing with this thing. You guys may be familiar with, I got to remember the exact phrase for this because I'm going to screw it up.
Supply chain issues,
thank you. Because I'm like, shipping delays, that's not right. Supply chain issues, it is the new hotness, if you will, of 2021 and 2022 respectively. And will also be probably a running trend, if you will, on Twitter till 2024 at this point.
It's because of inflation.
Well, that's partly it, but supply chain issues really just came down to the fact that we had ports that were basically shut down for a while because of this little thing called COVID. And the sad part of it is that we're still playing catch up. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But we should have con books either today or tomorrow, depending on certain things. You can only you can only be mad at UPS for so much when really there's a lot of other factors that come into play.
Does the con have a sponsor room this year?
A sponsor room? Huh. I'm writing that down because I don't. The straight up answer is I don't believe so. We do have. We have a VIP room, I want to say. But I don't think it's not really what you're looking at. But now that I'm thinking about it, a sponsored room, something similar to like a Delta Airlines like suite thing, like a Sky Miles Club, if you will.
Yeah.
That has potential.
Hey, I've got a question and I have a suggestion. I work at the Delta Club at City Field as a buzzer. And also when I went to A&E, you were there as well. I didn't see you this past February. Like this comes from outside of the con, like they have like restaurants and stuff. You know?
So, I can tell you this. This is a little more inside politics. So, there's a couple of things you might see at like bigger conventions, like Midwest Fur Fest. Furry Migration is another one of these. Well, they'll have something that's called a con suite. ConSuite is a great little spot where you can usually just go to find, like, to get a couple of snacks and, you know, not like a full-blown meal. And this is also the part where a friend of mine, who's a Delta pilot, actually, would want me to tell you guys about 622. It used to be 621. Now, does anyone like to tell me what they think 621 is? You've gotten a lot. Not you, Sam. We'll go with the, I'm not sure. You look kind of like a raptor, but like a jackal, but almost like a bird at the same time.
Sergal.
A what?
Sergal.
Cheese wedge.
Got it. So you're from Wisconsin. So tell us more about what 621 is.
6 hours of sleep, 2 meals, and 2 showers.
That's correct.
2 showers.
So that's why we upgraded 622. To 622, because at a furry convention, especially if you're a fursuiter, you should be taking 2 showers. And if you're a fursuiter, you should be drinking, not coffee.
Water.
You should be drinking water. Now, we've got water bubblers. How do you know I'm from Boston, Massachusetts?
Bubblers.
I just call that a bublet. Moving on. We've got water in every one of our rooms, and that should allow you just to go in, grab some water, and make sure that if you're a fursuiter that you are hydrating. That is incredibly and very, very important that you're doing that. If you're not a fursuiter, you should still be hydrating. I just emphasize it more for the fursuiters because, again, you should be hydrating. The worst thing we want to have this weekend is a medical situation where someone has passed out because they are heat stroke. And there's a 50-50 shot that might be me on Sunday. Only 50%, though.
Only you have, a handler. You have, a family member or a friend. Maybe it's a, hey, I'm planning to go to a furry convention. I need a handler to help me do things, you know?
That's a really good point as well. So a lot of our fursuiters, for all of our fursuiters, do you all have handlers?
No.
Some of it? Some? No, maybe?
Half
first, yeah. Perfect. So the half fursuiter over here, can I pick on you for a second, if that's okay? So as a handler, what's your job?
Make sure that they're hydrated and that they don't overheat.
Yep.
And they to make sure to keep watch of signs of heat stroke. Or
there's that. But you know what you also forgot to mention? Walking into actual signs.
Oh, I already did that.
And also, there's one thing. If everybody ask if they want to touch you or hug you, they should ask the handler first.
Correct. Consent is massive, especially at a convention. Kobe, I'm going to pick on you for a second. Can you just stand front and center? So one of the things that you got that is common is that fursuiters have really bad vision. And if I had a guess. If I'm over here, can you see it? Can you see my hands at the moment?
Fingertips.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Just this. How about over here?
Now I got your hands.
Good. So now if I do this,
I'm calling HR.
That's a good call. Fursuiters have very thank you, Kobu. Fursuiters have very limited vision. So if you're trying to approach someone to give a hug or something else, use your big arms. Approach from the front. Don't go from the back. Again, we're talking about hugging first leadership. Anyway.
Man,
it's,
one thing.
Yep.
Don't run into the first leader when giving them a hug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're just asking for them to tear an ACL, and that's just bad.
Oh. And as someone who's got a weak back themselves, we appreciate it not being tackled to the ground.
Do not crack their spine.
Or head.
Or
everything else associated with it. Let's actually just stop all the different things because I'm just thinking of running them back through my head and it's like, that's not good. Nope, don't want to do that one either. Our circle friend.
Don't pick us up.
Yes, don't do that either.
I'll be one to backstab and kick someone if they try to
hit. I hurt half of that and you're not supposed to do that, but I approve. Anyway, Sam.
Even if you're not a suitor, if you see a suit without someone, let them know, hey, you're almost going to be walking into this. Just be there for them as well.
Now, one of the other things I'm going to mention, and before I get to it, because I was going to talk about elevators, but...
Yeah. I was just going to say real quick, because a lot of things, you mentioned signs. So some people lay on the ground. I've seen a lot of, younger, newer people. They, lay on the ground just trying to get comfy. Suitors, a lot of times, can't see that line of sight. They won't see
correct.
The final steps.
And stepping on somebody, even in fursuit, is still not encouraged, even if it's accidental. And
when you have an elevator, let the fursuiters go.
That's what I was just about to say. Thank you. Elevators. Elevator courtesy. If there are fursuiters waiting in line, please give them priority. Fortunately, we only have 5 floors and a lot of rooms. So we've got a lot of walking spaces. And we've got access to pretty decent elevators at the moment, and hopefully that will stay that way. I'm going to hope that this is actual real wood. Hey, what do you know? It's real wood. Again, superstitious. If you are seeing a bunch of fursuiters, especially after our fursuit parade, which is tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and if you want to participate in it, please show up at 1 o'clock in main events. If you're a fursuiter, handlers are allowed in as well. But if you're not a fursuiter, you're not allowed to be in there. Handlers are, obviously.
Opera Suit Parade, is it indoor only, or are we going outside?
That's a great question that will be answered tomorrow. You want to know why it's going to be answered tomorrow?
Rain!
Do we have a do we know what the weather's like? Yes. Do we know it for certain? No. This is New England, for God's sakes. If you didn't know, the chances of the changing of our weather report is incredible.
I'd like to say if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes.
That's about it's very accurate. New England, it's about 30, to be perfectly honest with you.
Right.
But as someone who just came back from the coast, I live on the South Shore of Massachusetts, where it rained for the last time, I think, for 5 or 6 days straight. And again, if it rains for 40 days straight, we're really happy that we have a boat. And if you don't get that reference, I got a friend to introduce you to. Moving on. So, any last questions, things that you guys want to know about? I mentioned the First Shoot Parade. I mentioned some of our other larger events. We talked a little bit about some of the stuff. How about...
With the artist panels and stuff, if I don't have a character, like, is anyone there that might be able to help me out with
that's,
that?
I would recommend going to Build a Badge and seeing if there are other artists there, especially the sketchbook swap. But also, we've got all of Artist Alley, so they can also help you out. And a lot of the newer artists really, really enjoy helping another person create their Sona. It is a wonderful and incredible experience as someone who's done that for other people. And then you end up with some really crazy ideas, like being from Wisconsin. Moving on for our circle friend. We'll come back to you.
Trick-or-treating.
If I'm not mistaken, so the way it's going to work is that there are door handle things, if I'm not mistaken, which you should be able to pick up in registration, or ops, I should say. And all the information for that should be there. It's also up on our website. I'm not going to lie, I don't remember all of the pertinent details of it, so I'm making some general assumptions of, you do the thing that allows people to know, hey, you're open for trick-or-treating in your hotel rooms. And people will then come and trick-or-treat between, I want to say it's 6 and 8, or it's 5 and 7. I honest to God don't remember. But fortunately, there is a... 7 to 9, thank you. But fortunately, kind of killed my whole thing. It's like, I don't remember, but there's a schedule, and it's on your phone. Again, this panel has been sponsored in part by the Propocalypse schedule. If you don't have it, it's free. And it doesn't have any built-in ads or anything else.
Or subscriptions.
Or subscriptions. But if you pay now, $19.99, to... Hawk, you too can get the schedule continue to be sent to you for free and maybe even spoken at you in this wonderful loud voice for 5 minutes. Moving on. Any other last questions, concerns, things that you guys want to know more about?
Oh yeah, I got one. What's a good place to eat around here?
That's a great question. So downtown happens to be some of the best like options for food that I've seen at any location other than, I want to say, Minnesota. Mostly because where furry migration is in Minnesota is literally downtown downtown Minneapolis. And there's a 24-hour long diner, and yes, I'm stalling right now to pull up a map that I've created in advance.
Do you want an answer from a Stanford person?
That would be great, because I can't pull up my map fast enough because the internet wants to be silly at the moment.
If you want wholesome and cheap, one block down, IHOP on the right.
Just came from it.
Panda Empire delivers to this hotel. I think John the Baker delivers, but they suck. but it is pizza. 5 miles up High Ridge Road, which is the continuation of Summer Street, which we're on. 5 miles up, you've got a diner and a Burger King. No drive-thru at the Burger King. You have to walk in.
So does that answer some of your questions? Or if you had to pick one of those places to remember, what would you pick?
IHOP. It's across the street. Yeah.
There you go.
Google Maps says there's like a Starbucks, there's a smoothie place, there's a place that sells wieners not too far away, there's a Donut Delight.
Now,
is that
and two blocks down is a
pizza place. Chinese yeah. buffet, you said, yep.
What I'm actually going to recommend, because I'm very much looking forward to trying my, to stopping here again, is Taco Daddy, which does not sound like the best thing to mention, but it does definitely have the funniest name in the area. And Taco Daddy's idea of a taco is more like a gigantically stuffed burrito, which resembles a taco. Kind of almost looks like something you would see on SNL. But one of the other things I'm going to ask is that, where's the best place to drink for Furbocalypse?
The hotel.
One second. Sam, that's brilliant because you pointed to the water.
Yep.
Very cute. That's right, the hotel, but not just because it's the bar at the hotel. It is because it is Furpocalypse Bar here at the hotel. Literally, Furpocalypse is responsible in part for running, operating, and maintaining, and more importantly, the liquor sales for our bar that's over there, which should be opened, or rather, I don't exactly remember what time it's open, but again, you can find all that information out on our schedule.
It's at 5.
5 o'clock? Thank you. Again, actually, you know what? That makes sense, because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. In fact, I'm 99% positive. I made that joke and said, oh, that'd be great for some marketing. And I mentioned that maybe 3 months ago, and totally forgot to make the banner for it.
Better late than never.
Nah, that's a future problem. We'll deal with that another day. But, seriously. Seriously, guys. Don't think about. I mean, yes, bring me alcohol. Do whatever the heck you want to do in any of the rooms. Do it safely. Do it consensually. All that other good stuff. But more importantly, if you're looking for a good bar to go to, please come to the Furpocalypse Bar. We've got the drink.
Are there specials?
There are specials, and we even have special cups. We wanted to have these really fancy hurricane-style cups. We don't have them. We've got effectively Furpocalypse tropical-branded red Solo cups, but not just any kind of red Solo cup. They're a green Solo cup. And they are not anyway. They're reusable. They're proper. Like these, they don't look the part. They look like they're disposable. They're not disposable. They are proper cups that you're going to want to have, and they make a great souvenir to bring home to your loved ones.
And they're green.
Oh yeah, and they're green.
And they're green.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. There's a joke there, and I forgot. Damn it. You had a question?
No, I was just being a little.
That's okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
All right. All the way in the back.
They have non-alcoholic stuff at the bar.
Well, here's the thing I'm going to mention about the bar, and it's going to be pretty much the last thing I mention at the bar. I am the director of programming. You know what that means? I am not currently the manager of the bar, which means I don't know what's at the bar. I don't know what's available at the bar. But I will tell you right now, if the bar was open, this panel would be held at the bar.
Yeah.
You want to find out more about the bar? Go to the bar. Thank you.
We do have mixers.
We have tons of mixers. That is true.
I think you should be the voice of the bar. You're really good at it.
I'm just from Boston, Massachusetts, and when the accent comes out, it kind of continues to go out. It's wicked.
Massachusetts, with vim and vigor.
This guy gets it.
I'm from Boston.
Feels like we got
near there.
I feel like
Beverly,
that's gonna be like our new way of
Massachusetts.
There's also a
the time is coming. This
it's also a reason why our bars in Boston close early because we have
the subway closes
too much
early.
Time. Moving on. Any other last questions, concerns, things that you guys want to bring up, or if you guys have any other, actually, I should leave you guys in this. If you guys have questions about. What's going on, or if there's any issues, go to our operations room. We're more than happy to help you guys out with almost anything that's going on. If you got questions about our charity, go to our charity room. Again, down here, right to the right. If you got questions about what's going on a panel, come to the panel. Ask those questions right here. Or do that, or here. If you have any issues or things are going on and you want to know more about Furpocalypse, you want to know more about Furpocalypse Perm, you want to get more involved with any of us at all, you can email programming@furpocalypse.org, or you can reach out to me directly. I'm hawk@furpocalypse.org. And if you have any complaints about the DJs or anything else like that, you can leave them, well, I guess you can email them to me. I might respond. Also, if you have any problems or anything else and you're looking for a fall guy, you can also email Kobu at forpocalypse.org.
I do have a question this time. What is exactly the Festive Parade about? Like,
so the First Fruits Parade, in short, depending on if it is being held indoor or outdoors, is that it is all of our first shooters getting together and doing a parade!
That's my first
It's just pretty much that. Just that. You would find a spot along the parade route, you take some photos, and in theory, all of our we should have some signage for our parade route and everything else associated with it. We don't have that signage up yet because our parade route officially gets finalized tomorrow.
Got it.
Again, we're hoping for sunlight, we're hoping for sunshine and all that other good stuff, but again, we're hoping, we're not making any promises because anytime I've made a promise like, oh, it's going to be perfect, it's going to be great outside, the weather, the forecast says it's not going to rain, not going to do anything, thunderstorm, kid you not.
Yep.
All right, with that being said, guys, welcome again to your first Forpocalypse. Thank you for being a part of this panel.
First talk in Stanford, at least, for me.